Good morning. Let's go ahead and begin. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. We're meeting, or the time is 9 o'clock a.m. The date is June 6, 2007. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. The Title Setting Board consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm here on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman. To my right is Dan Domenico, who is Solicitor General, who is here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. And to my left is Dan Carton, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. To my far left is Maury Kanizer, Deputy Attorney General, who represents the Title Board, and to my far right is Ceci Gomez from the Secretary of State's office. Let me just go over the procedures for the Title Board. There's basically three steps when the Title Board considers a new measure. First, board members may wish to ask questions of the proponents. This is to ensure that the board understands the proposal. Second, the board will consider whether it has jurisdiction to set a title, and that necessarily includes a determination by the board whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement of the Constitution, because the board is prohibited from setting a title if a measure violates the single subject requirement. Third, if the board does determine that it has jurisdiction to set a title, then the board will use a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes. A copy of the staff draft for each measure is on the table by the back door. For anybody who wishes to testify, there are sign-up sheets on that table. The hearing is recorded and also broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's website. Generally, we take all testimony first, then the board discusses and votes after all the testimony has been completed. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board. Anyone who's dissatisfied with the decision of the Title Board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State's office within 7 calendar days of today. With that, I'd like to turn to the first agenda item, which is 2007-2008 number 17, new State Department and elected board for public resource conservation. Mr. Hamilton, on behalf of proponents, if you'd like to come forward, identify yourself for the record, please, and if you have any opening remarks, go ahead and let us know.
My name is Richard Hamilton. I'm a resident of Fairplay, Colorado. I have essentially no opening remarks other than I'm not quite sure that I agree with the unofficial captioned title, New State Department Elected Board for Public Resource Conservation. But I'm sure that you all will have questions and then et cetera, and I'll be more than happy to respond to those.
Are there questions for Mr. Hamilton? I may have one or two. In section two, well, it's filed with the measure were a couple of pages that I think on my copy are at the end. Maybe it's one page, I guess. It says proposal for formation of Colorado Department of Environmental Conservation. It looks like an explanation, but I just want to confirm that's not part of the measure itself.
No, sir, it's not part of the measure bill.
Okay. Then in section two, in about the middle of Section 2, there's a sentence that reads, Section 1 of Article 5 of the Colorado Constitution shall be the authority used by the public in the formation of the Colorado Department of Environmental Conservation. What does that mean?
It means that the public retained the right of initiative. I believe it was the second session of the Colorado State Legislature 1910 put it on the ballot. In the public, it's the first right of the public is the right to legislate.
So is that simply stating that for that this measure is proposed pursuant to Section 1 of Article 5, or is this a reference to future amendments?
No. It just says there that the authority used by the public in the formation of this measure will be the first right of the public to be able to legislate. So this is a citizen-legislated measure.
Okay.
It does not compromise at all with the proposal under Article 30.
And then another question I have on the next page, Section 3, Subsection 2. If I'm reading that correctly, it says the following boards, commissions, and councils are transferred from the office of the governor to the management and supervision of the elected commissioners for the new department. It looked like some of those are not in the office of the governor, but perhaps I'm mistaken. I mean, I'm not familiar with some of these groups, but like Wildlife Commission and so forth. Am I misreading that? This looks like a list of things that are transferred from the office of the governor to the new department.
The office of the governor has the right to establish the board members and commission members. And instead of just, I did not know whether in state operation you could just cover all that stuff with a type 3 transfer out of the governor's office. I did not know that you could make a type 3 from the executive office. So what I did is I enumerated the boards and commissions and councils and the board members and the review and management of the operations of the appointments to those boards and commissioners in this manner right here.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Hamilton?
I've just got one about Section 7. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I understand how this works so we can set an accurate title. This says that the new commission has the authority to and their role is to act as trustees, essentially, for public lands. And I'm curious, and it says that doubts are to be resolved in favor of conservation over economic interest. My question is, if the legislature, if the General Assembly passes a law regarding, I don't know, expanding highways, or that somehow favors economic development over conservation, this is now a constitutional board. Do you think that the board would have the authority to somehow override an enactment, a law passed by the General Assembly, given the kind of broad authority that this section gives them?
First of all, it isn't a commission. It's an elected set of directors to a new constitutional State Department, a State Department much like the State Department of Education. I see that your concern is the particular statement in there that the public resources and resource conservation values shall be resolved in favor of public ownerships and public values. In statute, at the water quality statute, it says that there shall be an analysis and a resolution in favor of economic interests before any stewardship conservation measure shall be adopted. There is in statute now a weighted favor to economic interests rather than the public's resource issues. This board, the elected board of the State Department, will be able to review those and say, the charge within the Constitution at Article 30 is that we do, if there's conflict between economic interest and environmental conservation interests, that the environmental conservation interests shall have primacy.
Okay, so that was my question. So the board then will be able to review actions that affect public resources.
Well,
taken by the legislature.
So will the Attorney General, since it's in the Constitution. Anybody may be able to bring that issue.
Okay. I think I understand. Thanks.
Mr. Carden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just have a couple of questions. Mr. Hamilton, in Section 3 of the measure, there's a subsection 1 that transfers a number of boards and commissions that are currently housed in other state departments to this newly created Department of Environmental Conservation. And there's a transfer in subsection 1, and then there's a transfer of some of the same boards and commissions in subsection 2. And I was just wondering what the difference between subsection, the transfer in one and the transfer.
Subsection 1 refers to divisions, departmental divisions, and various kinds of programs. And subsection 2 refers to, in fact, the boards and commissions as are appointed by the Office of the Governor underneath us. So one is divisions and one is commissions that are within the purview of the executive at the time being. The divisions will be transferred and the commissions will be transferred. As I said, I wasn't quite sure in state operation whether I should have just nominated those as type 2 or type 3 transfers. That might have been simpler. But since I was not sure, I know that you can do that from the legislative to the legislative. I did not know how the operation goes from the executive to a constitutional board, so I felt it better to be precise, clear, and nominate them.
Yeah, okay, and I just, again, just to be clear, for example, in subsection 1I, you transfer the State Board of Land Commissioners, mm-hmm. and in subsection 2C, the State Board of Land Commissioners is transferred.
Yes,
again,
there's a
number of others.
One is the division, and one is the appointment of the boards and commissions from the governor's office. So I not only transfer the division itself, or the State Board of Land Commissioners, but I transfer the right of appointments to the State Board of Land Commissioners also.
And you do that, I think, as well in Section 7, Subsection 2D, where you give the Board of Commissioners the responsibility for appointing the members of the State Board of GOCO. And so all of those boards and commissions that are listed in 2D under Section 7 would all be appointed by the Board of Commissioners, and they would not be subject to confirmation?
That's right.
I have a question on Section 8 of the measure. Subsection 2 says funds for the operation of this new department may be derived from the Colorado General Fund. There are a number of boards and commissions and state agencies that will be housed in this new department, and this direction I suppose that funding of any department or agency is always subject to the availability of funds and the power of appropriation of the General Assembly. But I'm just wondering why in subsection 1 you talk about fees and revenues shall pay for the operations, and then subsection 2 you talk about funds from the general fund may also be used to fund this new department. Is there any reason why, or can you tell me the purpose for specifying that the general fund dollars may be?
Yes, for instance, the operation in the Department of Natural Resources of the Division of Wildlife has wholly been by fees, by collection of penalty assessments, and by working with federal funds. No funds for the Division of Wildlife, Department of Natural Resources, have emanated from the general budget. This is a permissive statement here that says the Division of Wildlife, which heretofore has been restricted to monies collected by sports people for sports-related activities and federal activities related to wildlife, that division, if it needs more money, it may use monies within the general fund for its operation. It's not a exclusive, it's permissive.
And staying with Section 8, Subsection 3 has the statement that no manner of fiscal regulation, well, it's basically this, the language of Subsection 3 of Section 8, correct me if I'm wrong, basically exempts this particular department from the provisions of TABOR.
Yes, that's right.
Can you tell me what the purpose, and I'll, to follow up on that, the measure also gives the executive committee of the legislative council the authority to designate other boards, commissions, state agencies for transfer to this new department.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask the first question I have is, what's the purpose of exempting this particular department from the provisions of TABOR?
Well, the opportunities as I see this department is that it serves essentially non-revenue generating functions. It serves to protect the public's interest in natural resources. It is not a department that has operating funds built into it. It is, in fact, more of a regulatory department. So by in TABOR, if you were to make the department dependent upon revenues and expenditures even and even, you'd have a very difficult time running having any operation of the department. So if we say in 2A that the department may well operate by funds from the general budget, then you do not tie together expenditures and revenues in Article 10, Section 20. That's just a very nice cover to let the department operate. Its budget still will be approved by the General Assembly as part of the budget enabling process. The only thing is there won't be constraints to this constitutional department, as I say, much like the State Department of Education, predicated on expenditures and revenues being somewhat in balance. I think that is a prescription to a public resource conservation agency that would be disingenuous. I think it would be also injurious.
And how?
Now, why about the executive council legislative? The reason being that there has to be some part of state government that would have the right to review petitions from the general public concerning moving other sections and divisions, etc., into the Department of Environmental Conservation. And the Executive Board of Legislative Council is as democratic an organization as possible. You could have done it, you could have had that right of petition for redress, moving public stewardship entities into the Department of Environmental Conservation by having other entities either created or nominated. But this seemed to be an exigent one.
How is the purpose of removing this department from TABOR, the provisions of TABOR? How is that related to the overall purpose of the measure?
Well, very simply, the no government entity that has a paucity of funds and cannot perform its purposes will be able to perform its purposes. The significant starvation of resources, financial resources for operation, would be horrendous. So there's no duality in that whatsoever. If you create a department, you have to create the mechanisms whereby it's funded. And the mechanisms whereby it's funded, since this is a public resource conservation entity and not such as the Department of Revenue or the Secretary of State's office or something else, which do have larger fund revenue systems, this one won't have a very large fund revenue system coming into it. And so the if you say it may go ahead and collect monies from the general fund, you ought to also say that no matter of restriction by Article 10, Section 20 should be imposed upon this department, because it may well preclude its ability to provide services that have been constitutionally acknowledged and approved by the public. I don't think that there's any.
Thank you.
Publicity there.
I guess just to follow up on that, is this? I think I understand. I understand your concern that you need to be exempt, kind of, from how much money is assigned and is spent by this. My question is: do you think that this Section 8, Subsection 3, also exempts? Say the General Assembly gives X dollars to this board for all its functions 1 year. Can the General Assembly effectively raise taxes by that amount?
No.
To match? This is only a spending side.
Shall apply to the operation exemption. Funding and reserves or expenditures.
So there's nothing about that this would allow the General Assembly to raise taxes by this.
No, that's not.
Okay, good.
This is not an a priori.
Okay.
And I, again, following up on that, just to make sure I'm clear on those questions that's being asked, even though the measure allows the General Assembly to appropriate general fund dollars to the new department and exempts the new department from Tabor, you're not suggesting that any general fund dollars appropriated to the department would be outside the Tabor limits?
No, not at all. And that's why it says down here, shall apply to the operation, funding, and reserves or expenditures of the department. It does not move over into an a prior condition of a fiscal management at the legislature. It's only for the operation and the management and the supervision of the newly created department.
So with respect to the cash funds that are generated that support the department, those cash funds would be exempt from Tabor?
Yes.
Okay. And going back to Mr. Carton's question about if the executive committee can transfer additional agencies into the department, including, I assume, agencies that are cash funded, does that effectively exempt those agencies from Tabor? And are there any limitations on the ability of the executive council to do that, simply for the purpose of exempting those agencies from Tabor?
The transfers of these things shall be set such as they are needed to protect the public's interest in natural resources. I would think that something from the treasurer's office would not necessarily be protection of the public's interest in natural resources. That would be a fiscal operation, something from the Department of Labor, something from the Department of Transportation. Although what happens with those is, I assume that the I'll make this assumption that the legislature has dealt with Tabor issues enormously, as well as has Legislative Legal Services and the Office of the State's Attorney General. These things are not meant to sit and provide surreptitious access to the defeat of Tabor. It says clearly, and it enunciates, I think, rather precisely in black letter law right here, that shall apply to the operation, funding, and reserves or expenditures of that department. I think that if there's any contrivance to go ahead and denude the Article 10, Section 20 of the state constitution, somebody to stand up and protect it.
And again, with respect to the ability of the executive committee to make decisions. And I think there were several places in the measure that authorizes the executive committee to make decisions. It's a little, that's a somewhat odd under the normal separation of powers principles that a committee of the General Assembly can act apparently not by bill, but simply by decision of the legislative committee.
By constitution in this case, if it were so empowered.
And was there a reason why those choices, for example, to add additional agencies to the new department, there's a reason why that would not be done by bill?
No, there isn't. There is. However, the if there were a petition by a member of the public or some other, it would just as easily be done to the executive committee of legislative council rather than bill. Bill processes sometimes are arduous, tedious. This doesn't necessarily set policy. This merely redirects under a constitutional provision the operation of a division in where it would be housed. And I think that there's wisdom in the executive committee of legislative council.
Just to push this one step further, would it be fair to say that, in fact, it could not be done by bill since this constitutional provision says the executive committee would do that?
I suppose that the a bill could direct the executive committee to go ahead and do that. I wouldn't think that it would be necessary exclusionary.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Hamilton? Let's turn then to the question of whether the measure complies with a single subject requirement. Mr. Hamilton, it might be useful to, for purposes of getting our discussion started, if you would tell us what you think the single subject of the measure is.
The single subject of the measure is the department, the creation of a State Department of Environmental Conservation, and in connection therewith, the election of the Board of Commissioners, and the, also in connection therewith, the charged of trust stewardships. Single subject of the
measure. Well, I mean, there were about three things that you listed there that I know are interrelated, but...
And that's why I said in connection therewith, so we could go ahead and sneak... No, I think that the creation of the new State Department and provisions for the management of that department and the charge that that department would have in stewardship of publics are... That's essentially a single subject.
And, you know, the board is required in setting titles to clearly express the single subject, and in the staff draft, that draft expresses the subject as concerning the creation of a new Department of Environmental Conservation.
Bill, I have not been privy to that, that draft.
The staff draft?
No, I have not.
That should be on the table.
On the back of that packet?
I think it's all together with the meeting notice and for that, for number 17, perhaps, on the very last page.
There we go. Good.
So I was referring to basically lines 1 and 2.
Yes.
Concerning the creation of a new Department of Environmental Conservation and in connection therewith doing various things, but the single subject being the creation of the new department. And it sounds like that's in harmony with what you just expressed the single subject to be.
Yeah, I don't know that I would put in there specifying the department commence on 2010.
Okay. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify, but while we're on the question of whether the board has jurisdiction to set titles, and in particular whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement, is there anybody else who wishes to address the board on that issue? Seeing none, then I'll turn to board discussion concerning whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. Any discussion? Mr. Carton. I'll assign someone to start.
Taking in is also, I think the board makes its determination of whether it has jurisdiction set its title and whether a measure contains a single subject based on a number of judicial decisions that have come down. This measure, as you stated, Mr. Hamilton, it does create a new department. It also consolidates a number of other state agencies that are either constitutionally created, statutorily created, into this new, into the new department. Call it the CDEC, I guess, the Colorado Department of Environmental Conservation, including the Great Outdoors Colorado program and the State Board of Land Commissioners. And the Colorado Water Quality Control Division. There, I think that most of the boards and commissions that are listed have some relationship to public resource conservation and stewardship, as you state in Section 1. The measure states in Section in 1. The Colorado Department of Environmental Conservation is created by the people of the state of Colorado to ensure public resource conservation stewardship, and in connection therewith, the operation and management of the Department of Environmental Conservation shall be compliant with the provisions contained with this in Article 30. And so the stated purpose of the measure in Section 1 is to ensure public resource conservation stewardship. And in connection with that purpose, it transfers a number of state agencies and boards and commissions that I have said, that I previously mentioned, that are either statutory or constitutionally created. And I'm assuming that the reasoning is that these are better housed under a single department, a single board, elected board, for management purposes. Although that, and when I'm done here, you can correct me where I'm wrong.
No, I think that last statement summarized it quite well. The reason that they're all been put into a new department is because some are in agriculture, some are in natural resources, some are in health, some are in local affairs. And the and what happens with that is the public has no one-stop shopping to go to see whether its values and natural resources are being stewarded by the state operating as an entity to protect the public's interest.
No, thank you. And I'll try not to ramble here, Mr. Chairman.
I'll try not to ramble.
And it also, as we've discussed here, gives the Executive Committee of Legislative Council to pick and choose other boards and commissions, state agencies, and transfer those, which, as Mr. Hobbs mentioned, is a novel sort of power, I think, and one that I'm not, do not know of to exist currently under law. But again, I think that probably you can make the thread there for those particular transfers, that particular delegation of authority to your single purpose of stewardship for public resources.
My co-sponsor, Mr. Doe, has suggested that I sort of imply that most of the things that you're discussing are essentially housekeeping measures in order to go ahead and make the purpose come to pass. That these are just, there are 52 cards in a deck, and we need to get all the 52 cards into one deck.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and with all due respect, that's some major housekeeping. That's all I would say.
It is a major housekeeping that has been needed for a long, long time.
The only, and again, I will kind of cut my observation short. As far as under the law, whether or not a measure contains multiple purposes, and if it contains unrelated purposes, if it contains separate subjects, then there is an issue of whether or not the board can set a title. And I do have concerns over the provision that exempts this department from the provisions of TABOR, and in connection with that, gives the executive committee power to move state agencies into the department with that kind of an exemption. I'm just not sure, and I appreciate how you articulated the purpose for doing that and how that relates overall, but I guess that is one provision of the measure that I think one could highlight or one could question or have issues with as far as being a separate purpose from the overarching purpose of having an entity and a board engage in stewardship of public lands. So I guess that's where I'm at right now as far as the measure goes, and I'd be interested in the discussion of my of your response and the discussion of my fellow board members.
I'd rather than board members.
Thank you.
I think my concern, I think the Tabor issue is a potential problem, but I think the explanation I got is probably convinces me that could be safely considered part of the housekeeping of creating this new commission that sweeps up all these various things, takes the authority from the governor to appoint certain boards, puts them in this new entity, and this new entity its funding is exempt from Tabor. I think I'm okay on that. My sticking point on the single subject issue is really that in addition to this housekeeping, this seems to, and creating this new entity and trying to get things in one place, also this measure seems to constitutionally tell this new entity substantively what policies essentially give it substantive guidance on how to carry things out. And so I've got a little concern that you're not only doing some housekeeping, but you're really doing some substantive policy making that is related, certainly, but is maybe a separate purpose from simply, someone could certainly say, man, I agree with you. It's a mess having all these boards and commissions and all this natural resource stuff all over the place. We need to get the authority to handle that in one place. But at the same time, I'm not sure I want to also switch policy or make these new policy directives in the Constitution this way. And so that's where my sticking point is right now. And
we've just had a recent judicial tiff over Amendment 41, where the court discerned that there wasn't enough direction. You're arguing here that there's too much direction. So we've got a conflict between the nature of the title-setting board and what has just recently been espoused in a judicial decree. I'm sure that in Article 22 that puts together the State Department of Education, it says for the proper education and well-being of the people of Colorado, would that be an extension over the creation of the department within the Constitution? I think not. What we did was we tried to enumerate certain kinds of areas of stewardship, and that I believe is your problem with this. You think that that's a dual subject, and I think that it is not.
I think probably where I am at this point.
May Mr. Doe also?
Sure.
Phil Doe,
if you'll identify yourself for the record, please, sir.
Yeah. My name is Phil Doe. I chair a nonprofit called Citizens Progressive Alliance. In answer to your question, I think there has to be some sort of philosophical imperative behind the legislation that is going to ask people to vote for or against something. And that's all this is expressing, is the primacy of environmental conservation and protection. And all the bookkeeping and all the housekeeping it takes to make that workable. It's one thing to say, this is what we want. Behind that, there's all this machinery that has to be oiled and made to run as efficiently as possible.
Well, that, I mean, maybe this is less a single subject question. Maybe I should save it. But really, it seems important to me that part of a lot of what's going on here is taking authority from the governor and the General Assembly and transferring it to this new commission, right? The authority to make these decisions, and then also giving them this policy imperative that you've identified, right? And
this measure creates no new law. This measure merely goes ahead and shuffles the chairs on the deck.
Well, but the first question I asked was about this switching from the imperative to resolve doubts in favor one way or the other. I mean, that to me is a substantive directive that someone could come into court and say your decisions are not following the constitutional. You've made this decision to allow this development to go forward here, or to do this to release certain water rights, and that violates your trust responsibility. That's more than just shuffling chairs, right?
Well, if you were charging the department with its ability to ensure public resource conservation, and you have within the water quality statutes an economic supremacy within them over public stewardship issues, you already have within statute something that is essentially going to contravene the very nature of this. Should we just leave that out and have somebody sue the Water Quality Control Commission, or should we enumerate it in here? Should we? How do we handle this? Just be silent and hope that somebody takes a look at it, or sit there and say, here's a bundle of things that should be undertaken? I believe that the judicial review in Article 40 for Amendment 41 would suggest now would be better being more comprehensive than less comprehensive.
Well, I don't disagree that we're in a bit of a bind trying to figure out how to apply the single subject thing. There's no doubt about that, and I appreciate your answer. But my only point is that there really is a substantive aspect to this in addition to the housekeeping aspect.
How do you create it without enunciating some part of it to what it should do?
Well, I mean, you could leave that to the people who are running for the office, right? I mean, I understand you want to do that, but it's not a natural requirement of it. You could create this board and just leave it to the elected people on the board to make the substantive decisions.
We could pass 800 bills at the legislature by title alone without discussion within the context of a bill language, what goes on. And I would suggest that would be a very, very inappropriate way to operate government. This merely says, here's this, and this is what it's expected to do. The single subject says there that you should protect against the opportunity to delude the public in its operation. I think that this does exactly the opposite. I think it goes ahead and enumerates for the public where those areas of concern will be covered, and it would be constitutional. So I think that'd be quite all right.
Well, I think it goes back to your earlier question early on in the conversation, Mr. Monica, and that is that if this does become part of the Constitution, it would be wise for the legislature to seek the advice, as I'm sure they would, of this department on issues dealing with the protection and conservation of the public's resources. And it would be, a consolidation, if you will, toward that end. And it seems to me that that's one of the byproducts and one of the impacts of the single title.
Just one follow-up on that, and this is really a follow-up on my first question. My understanding is
not only should the legislature, the General Assembly, consult with or seek the advice of, but if they pass something that this board disagrees with, the board has the authority essentially to refuse to enforce it if it goes against this substantive directive in here.
Well, there are attorney general's opinions, and there's an awful lot of, I'm sure that your colleagues over at Legislative Legal Services will be pretty ready to go ahead and investigate those kinds of conditions and situations in a proposed bill. I don't think that the Legislative Legal Services allows very many bills to proceed forward that blatantly violate provisions of the Constitution. At least they make recommendations in the bill drafting that doesn't happen. This is not meant in any manner to deceive. It's meant to elucidate for the general public one of the reasons of the measure, as well as to give guidance by the public to that department in the operation.
I certainly don't want to sound like I'm accusing you of intending to deceive anyone. I just want to make sure I understand it well enough. It's a fairly complicated measure, so I just want to make sure I understand it well enough so that we can set a title.
It would seem to me, given the experience I have and how things work in this world, that if you had a bill that this department was very upset about, reasonable people would see compromise. I mean, that's the way it's done, or that's the way it should be done. And so that those issues which this department found not in support of the principle of preserving and conserving the public's resources, they would have to debate, and you would hope that they would come to some compromise over it. And if they didn't, then there are other avenues of government that would come into action. I mean, that's just the way the system works.
Thank you.
Based on the discussion that I've heard, I'm inclined to believe that the measure comprises a single subject. I think the purpose of the measure, as expressed by the proponents and as expressed in Section 7, is to ensure public resource conservation stewardship. The measure says that the new department is created to achieve that purpose. And I think there's been some good questions raised about some of the features of the measure. But it seems to me that each of those features that we've addressed have been described as, and reasonably described, as furthering that purpose. So the exemption from the Tabor limits, I think I understand how that can further the work of the department. The way I understand the ability of the executive committee to transfer additional agencies would be perhaps that's an easy mechanism to facilitate the incorporation of agencies that properly belong within the department, and so forth. So I don't think I can conclude that there are separate and distinct purposes and that there would be a violation of the single subject requirement. I think there's some of the questions and discussions that we're having relate to how the titles ought to express the single subject and the provisions of the measure, but it does seem to me that the measure likely is a single subject. Mr. Carton.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask one more quick question? I have one more question. Section 7 of the measure, Section 7, Subsection 2, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but this is the provision in Subsection 2, in D I want to focus on, that gives the board the appointment power for, I guess I've counted 10 boards and commissions, including the board for the GOCO Trust Fund and the State Land Board and the Colorado Land Use Commission. And I did not take the time to go through and see how each of those board members are appointed right now, but I would suspect that most are appointed by or appointed by or subject to confirmation by either the governor or the legislature. My question is, why is it, within the context of your measure, what is the purpose or why is it preferable to have this elected board appoint these multiple board and commission members than the current process?
Well,
I think that is a substantive change.
Well, it's the board will be elected. They will be elected department directors within a heretofore executive governmental formation. These people, in order to affect their policy, Mr. Ritter is elected. He goes ahead and appoints lots of people to boards and commissions due to the nature of his election. The State Department of Education is elected. Members of boards and commissions at the State Department of Education are, in fact, appointed by people within the State Department of Education, not as the general boards and commissions of an other elected entity. I think that it's conformity with exactly what's ongoing now rather than broad synoptic change.
Well, and I guess...
And by the way, I'd like to make one more point. You say something about GOCO. What happens is only the part of the Great Outdoors Colorado program that is integrated into the DEC would be program management, operation, and administration. None of the trust boards, none of the appointments to those trust boards, none of those things are, in fact, because it says right down here, provisions, section 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Article 27 relating to the establishment operation of the Great Outdoor Colorado Trust Fund shall not be otherwise impressed by provisions of Article 30. So we say that merely as a seamless program element of having public lands administered within a public lands and public stewardship agency, we do not touch at all the operation of trust funds.
And I'll stop, but all I would say, because I think I'm persuaded by my colleagues here on the board that there is probably a single purpose here, but I guess I would disagree. I don't see this as a conforming type of change given the structure and appointment process that exists under current law, and I'm still really unclear on why this is preferable or why this is better policy, but that's me.
They're elected members of the public affecting their own boards and commissions.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Any other discussion by the board? If not, is there a motion? I guess I'll go ahead and move that for the sake of discussion, that the board find that the measure does comprise a single subject and proceed to title setting. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft. And Ms. Gomez is displaying the staff draft on the screen in the room. Mr. Hamilton, it sounded like you had not had a chance to look at the staff draft.
No, I haven't, sir.
Shall we take a minute or two? It's fairly short if you want to read it through. And just by way of explanation, you know, I think you're aware of this, but I'll reiterate this for the public. Lines 1 through 9 is the staff draft of the title, and lines 10 through 18 are the same, but in the form of a question. And typically the board works on amendments on that first portion with the understanding that any changes the board makes to the staff draft in the first portion will also be made in the second portion.
I would go ahead on line 3. And starting on line 2, it's specifying, and through line 3 to through the enumeration of 2010, and eliminate that. I think that has little to do with the process. That's just a process nature. That's not a policy.
I would also say on the end of line 5, including, and I would put portions, maybe land management portions of the Great Outdoors Colorado program, because it doesn't absorb the whole Great Outdoor Colorado program. And I think that, those would be the only two changes that I would do.
Okay. Mr. Domenico?
Well, personally, I don't have a problem with either of those changes, but I think there are some things that need to be added to make the title accurately reflect the measure. So I don't know if we want to stick with those before we get to anything else.
Let me just ask also, since although again I don't have anybody else signed up to testify, is there anybody else present who wishes to comment on the staff drafts for number 17? Oh, hearing none, and then we'll proceed.
I think that there needs to be clarity, and certainly about just the land management and operations portions of the Great Outdoor Colorado program, instead of the totality of the programs being having administrative control by the new department.
Well, let's have some board discussion about those suggestions and any others that Mr. Domenico or others would like to make. Mr. Domenico, if you'd like to start.
Well, as I say, the two suggestions made by the proponents, I think, are fine and helpful. If anyone's worried about the language about commencing operations needing to be in there, maybe you can move it to the end to sort of make it less important. But I'm fine getting rid of it.
It's fine in there. I mean, I say it just doesn't address any enormously philosophical issue.
It actually made sense to me to take it out, so maybe if we could address that one first. I guess I'll move that we remove that particular clause that Ceci has highlighted there. Delete the clause that says specifying that the department would commence operations on January 1, 2010.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So we move to the other suggestion then, down in the end of line 5. Mr. Hamilton, I think your suggestion was something along the lines of including the land management portions of the Great Outdoors Colorado program.
That would suffice well.
And could you point to me in the measure where that language?
Yes, it's at number 10, section 10. Great Outdoors integrated into the Department of Environmental Conservation for purposes of program management, program operation, program and provisions of 234 of 27. Relating to the establishment and operations of the Great Outdoor Colorado Trust Fund shall not be otherwise impressed by these provisions.
And I didn't look that up, but what does that mean?
It means that the establishment of the board, how the board, the rest of that constitutional provision is not at all imposed upon by this. The only thing that is imposed upon is the program supervision and the designation of lands and things, not the operation of the trust fund or how the trust fund has been established or its apportionments and all the rest of those things. That's not, we're just doing this for the purposes of the program operations.
Well, I'm just having a little trouble still making the leap. I mean, the staff draft says that the program is transferred, and it looks like Section 10 says that. It says that the program is integrated into the new department, and it says for purposes of certain things, but I'm looking for magic words like land management.
Well, how about including the Great Outdoors Colorado program, except for operation of the Great Outdoor Colorado Trust Fund? You can make an addition after program, except for the operation of the Great Outdoors Colorado Trust Fund. I think it's essential to tell the public that we're not fooling with the the GoCo trust fund. That's why I added that whole thing in section 10.
Well, I'm wondering if that's really necessary to say. I mean, it looks like those provisions, 2, 3, 4, and 5, as you say, all deal with the trust fund. Section 2 creates the trust fund. Section 3 deals with monies allocated to the trust fund. Section 4 says the fund is to remain inviolate. Section 5 deals with trust fund expenditures. I don't directly see anything that conflict with your measure.
I think you're essentially right, Bill. We can just leave it as is.
I mean, you know, section 6, which you're not pulling out, it does say that that starts out, says that there shall be established the state board of
yes.
the Colorado, of the Great Outdoors Colorado Trust Fund, et cetera. But I think you are putting the new department in charge of that.
Yes.
So there's still the new department would still have administrative authority over the fund and the expenditures and so forth.
In that sense, they're appointed by the directors.
I mean, based on that, it would be my suggestion maybe to leave the staff draft alone.
Leave the staff draft alone is fine. You're on.
Further,
Mr. Doe is all right with that also.
Okay. Mr. Domenico, then I think you have some other issues about the staff draft.
The main one I thought needed to be added was something about the trust function, the sort of substantive thing that I've been talking about in Section 7, that at least makes it clear to people that you're doing a little bit more than simply consolidating all these functions or transferring them from the governor and the legislature, especially the governor, to this new board. So I'm trying to figure out where we might add a clause explaining essentially Section 7.
I'll write that on line number 4, sir. It says specifying the department's duties and powers, and you might wish to expand that in some great manner.
Yeah, that might be the place to do it. How to do it. If we were to say, let's see, specifying that the department, that the department's priority is to steward and protect the public ownership and public conservation and values and lands, and directing it to resolve conflicts between economic interest and conservation stewardship in favor of public ownerships and public values, just kind of taking some of the main action words out of the measure itself and putting it in there. That's some sort of what I have in mind, although it's not perfect. So maybe it makes sense for me to
let's
get
it up
written down and then we can pick it apart.
Mr. Doe also has a suggestion at the end of line, after conservation in line 2, you could also say, whose primary purpose shall be the conservation and protection of the public resource values. Then semicolon.
Well, we've got this formula that we like to follow about where the in connection therewith goes.
Okay.
And I'm not, we always get in trouble if we avoid it.
In connection
even
therewith.
If, yeah. Yeah. So, even if that would make more sense, maybe we try sticking on line 4. And why don't I suggest the actual language and we can write it down and see if it makes sense. So it would be specifying that the departments priority is to steward and protect the public ownership and public conservation.
Protect the public
ownership. And public conservation values. In, I guess we could just say public resources, in public resources. And specifying that conflict between economic interest and conservation stewardship responsibilities. Sure, sorry. Specifying that. That conflict between economic interest and conservation stewardship shall be resolved in favor of public ownerships and public values. And then I would just delete duties and powers, I think, or maybe kind of obvious.
Sir, may I respectfully suggest that the words public ownerships be taken out, because we allude not at all to public ownerships. And by the way, they probably would get into public trust responsibilities then.
Well, actually, it does refer to public ownership, so I was just quoting from the end of subsection 1. I'm not sure I mind taking it out. But that's why it's in there.
Yes, the Colorado Department of Environmental Conservation created the people ensure public resource conservation stewardship, and in connection, the operation and management of it shall be compliant with the. I don't know where it says.
Just at the very before the last five words before subsection A, in section 7.
Section 7.
Says. Conflict between economic interest and conservation stewardship responsibilities to and for the public's resources and resource conservation values shall be resolved in favor of public ownerships and public values. So that was just a quote, which is what I try to do when I to avoid trouble. 'Cause that's what the measure is doing, even if we're not entirely clear what that means.
Leave it in.
Yeah, I mean, the only question I have for you is to, I sort of consolidated earlier in Section 7, it says public conservation values in lands, waters, public resources, and wildlife into just public resources. Is that okay?
Sure. Yes, and the ownerships, I remember now because the public does own the water.
Okay.
It doesn't own all the rights to the use of the water, but the water on
I know you're trying to get closer to the screen, but we need to pick you up on the mic also.
with all due respect, it's just a little clunky, it seems to me, mostly because there's a repetition of public ownership and public conservation values.
What would you think if we just got rid of the section about priority and just said specifying that that might not work.
Pardon?
Maybe someone else can save me.
Mr. Domenico, and I appreciate what you're doing here as far as trying to add some clarity for the voter looking at this particular question. But I guess that I am more comfortable with the rigid and cryptic specifying the department's duties and powers rather than your proposed language, because, and I don't think there's any prohibition against this, but to me it almost seems as though it's a statement of legislative intent and almost catchphrasy when you've got public ownership and public conservation values and conservation stewardship being resolved in favor of public ownerships and public values. That's a statement of legislative intent and not a concrete specification of what the kind of the legal effect of the measure. That's kind of my take on that.
Well, my impression was that in fact this is a legal effect, that the department takes an action that doesn't resolve a conflict in favor of public ownerships and public values, that someone could challenge that action as failing to live up to this constitutional charge. And so that's why I wanted it in there.
And I'll confess to you, and we've passed this stage, and I probably should have asked the question at some earlier point, but the sentence, conflict between economic interest and conservation stewardship responsibilities to and for the public resources and resource conservation values shall be resolved in favor of public ownership and public values. I don't know what that means. So that's why I'm a little bit reluctant to include that kind of language in the title of the measure, personally. But I appreciate what you're trying to do here.
Well, I think, you know, Mr. Carton's raising a good point. What this reminds me of is the English language measure in 2000, where the board in the titles included a phrase that said, requiring all children in Colorado public schools to be taught English as rapidly and effectively as possible. And that was language right out of the measure. I think the view of the board was that was central requirement of the measure, and it was an essential requirement as far as what the measure was required to achieve. The Supreme Court said that was an impermissible catchphrase and slogan. And you know, this does seem a little bit like that. And yet, I also tend to agree with Mr. Domenico. This seems to me that we're talking about a couple of, and I'm not sure whether they're two separate or basically one fundamental public policy that's going to be set in the Constitution that's enforceable to a degree, somewhat vague, as Mr. Carton is pointing out, but arguably having an operative effect. Mr. Domenico.
Let me offer a compromise that may address some of your complaint about the clunkiness of it, as well as this. What if we said something about specifying the department's duties and powers and that conflict between economic interest, and just kind of added that at the end? And then you take out the repeating it. You don't completely address it because you still have stewardship. You could even take out stewardship, maybe just say conflict between economic interest and conservation shall be resolved. But I do think that that's more than just legislative intent, but an actual substantive provision that's going into the Constitution if this passes, that people voting on it should be aware of in the title.
I think it's very important that, and I'll confess that I largely gravitate towards the public side, but if I were voting on this measure and I were in the polling place, I'd want to know more about it than just the title. And so I think anything that allows the public to gain a better understanding of what the measure is all about is in the public interest. The only thing I would suggests is that you take out, just say, priority is to steward and protect the public's resources, specifying that conflict between economic interest and conservation stewardship should be resolved, blah, blah, blah. I think you've got a phrase in there that really does, and protect the public's ownership, public conservation, because you say it again. So, you know, just to strike the, when in doubt, strike it out, as Mark Twain said. So I would, priority is to the stewardship, is to steward and protect the public's resources. And if you want to say, and specifying the conflict between those economic and conservation interests will be resolved in the favor of the public.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm coming around to see that the priority language really is probably just a kind of a statement of legislative intent, and maybe we could just get rid of that entire clause. And so my suggestion was to take the striking even a little further, get rid of that whole first part that I added, go back maybe to saying specifying the department's duties and powers, and that, so maybe I'll just have CC do it so we can. So specifying, just delete what you added there on specifying that the, and go back to specifying the. Department's duties and powers, and
where are powers?
Powers with an S, and now we're going to end up with maybe you say and declaring that, and then you can just delete the added language down to conflict. I guess leave it at that.
You want that?
Yes.
Delete it also.
No, leave it in there, actually. Delete specifying, but there. See how that works. I don't know if we want to take out stewardship. That's the only other thing. I can go either way, I think, on that. If you're concerned that it's something of a catchphrase, then I don't mind taking it out, but I think it works either way.
I think it's somewhat essential, because what does conservation, I would take out conservation before I take out stewardship.
The measure, in, I think, says conservation stewardship responsibilities.
Sure. I think it's fine.
I prefer to include, because I assume that may relate it more to the department itself. I don't know.
Responsibilities?
Assert responsibilities. Seems reasonable to me.
I'd be happy with that. I don't know if that resolves Mr. Carton's problems.
Well, I guess that I think it's an improvement. And that is what, again, I think it accurately depicts what the measure states. But, for example, Section 2 of the measure talks about the supervision, management, and policy determinations regarding the public resources and public resource conservation stewardship programs. I'm just, it shall be the responsibility of an elected board of commissioners. And I'm just wondering if it isn't preferable to talk about duties, powers, supervision, management, and policy determinations relating to public resources rather than including what I view as a it's something that does border on a legislative declaration or a type of, feels like a catchphrase within the relevant provisions. And so I understand, and I guess I would just throw that out there, whether you might want to say establishing an elected board of commissioners to supervise the department, and then saying specifying the department, and I don't think I'm going to change anybody's minds, and we probably have talked about this long enough, but I guess my suggestion would be to kind of keep it simple and to say specifying the departments and the boards of supervision, management, and policy determination, specifying the departments and the boards' duties and powers relevant to or relating to the supervision, management, and policy determinations regarding the public resources, and not have a statement that talks about resolving conflicts between economic interest and conservation stewardship. That's my pitch, but I understand where you're going.
I mean, my concern seems if all the measure did was came in and said all these boards shall resolve these conflicts in favor of, didn't do the housekeeping, it's just that all these existing boards shall resolve conflict in favor of public ownerships and stewardship. I would think that would need to be in there. And since that's an important part of what's going on here, that's why I think it should be in there, even though it also does these other housekeeping things.
And I'll just go back to my original kind of statement is, I don't know what that means.
Well, if we could only set titles when I knew exactly what was going to happen, we would.
No, but I think the other statements are, albeit they're very terse and directed, they're less subjective, perhaps is the word I'm looking for, than that particular addition. But I'll stop at that point.
Certainly understand. Should we move this?
I understand Mr. Carton's concerns, and I think it's a close issue, but I think I'm okay with the language. So, Mr. Domenico, is that your motion?
Yeah, I'll move that we make the changes as discussed. Do you want to read the?
I don't think so. When we're done, I'll read the whole thing into the record, and
okay.
I'll have that. I'll second Mr. Domenico's motion. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. Further suggested changes to the staff draft?
The only other suggestion I had was that perhaps we should make it a little bit clearer in here that among these duties and powers is the power to make all these appointments that are currently made by either the governor or someone else to these boards. That one I'd like to hear some discussion of, whether that would be advisable or not, but that also seems to be a fairly major change that some people might want to know about, or at least have a hint of, and as you say, might spur them to actually look more into which boards and exactly where those come from if they have a specific concern. So that was something Mr. Carton had discussed, so I don't know what he thinks about that.
Carton, I was just going to comment. I think that's a good point. I think that is a pretty significant feature that what is normally a constitutional role of the governor, perhaps to make appointments, is being transferred, and that's probably something that seems to me should be mentioned. But
I'd be supportive of that addition as well if you want to take a shot at the language.
Yeah, now that's the question, is how you do that without getting bogged down. And
just transferring certain existing governmental programs, appointments to boards and commissions and entities to the department.
Yeah, that's somewhere in there if you say transferring certain governmental and programs and entities to the department.
Appointments to boards and commissions.
Yeah. And transferring authority to appoint members of those boards and commissions
to the department.
Would that work?
Let's try that. So, yeah, they're after the department, say, and transferring authority to appoint members. Is it, would it be the same governmental programs and entities we just referred to, or are there, so of those, well, no, maybe I should delete that, of certain boards and commissions relating to those programs and entities.
Relating?
Right, to those programs and entities. Now I might have to move something. Entities, comma. And now I think we need to move to the department, actually, to after the Great Outdoors Colorado program. Do you see what I'm saying? It says entities to the department on line 7. Mm-hmm. If we cut to the department, move it. Do line 9.
Okay. Before you do that, can I ask? I mean, we're transferring certain things to the department, but am I wrong? I thought we were transferring the appointment authority to the commission.
And oh
then,
yeah.
And if so, then maybe we leave transfer certain programs and program to the
That's
department,
right.
including Great Outdoors Color Program. And then add something, and maybe it's just a brand new clause along the lines of what Mr. Domenico has, that would be transferring authority to appoint or something.
That's probably, yes, I think that's right.
Believe this?
Better. Right.
Okay.
And then move the new language that you've typed in on lines 7 and 8, move that down after
that.
Cut that down and put it in after Colorado, after Great Outdoors Colorado program in line 9. What was line 9?
Now 8.
Right there.
You got to get rid of the and. To the let's see. Yeah, where do you want to put that, Bill?
Either after entities or right after transferring to either to me, transferring to the commission or transferring authority to appoint and then put it at the end. I'm not sure which reads better. Transferring to the Board of Commissioners the authority to appoint. Transferring to the Board of Commissioners the authority. So the authority to appoint members of certain boards and commissions relating to those programs and entities transferred to the department? Or is it clear enough that when we say those programs and entities that it goes back to what's in line 7?
I think it's clear enough.
Okay. Any further discussion? I'll move that.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other suggested changes to the staff draft? So, Ceci has changed it so that we can see how the title would read with those changes. And I'll read this into the record. Is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
I'll move to adopt the staff draft as amended.
And again, the understanding would be the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause that begins in what is now line 12. I'll second the motion. Mr. Carton.
Mr. Chair, on line 8, after entities, would it be appropriate to insert a semicolon there in conformance with the other semicolons in the...
Good point. We'll consider that editorial.
I think that's right.
Well, let me read it into the record, and it'll give us a chance then to look at it one more time. So as amended, the title would be as follows. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the creation of a new Department of Environmental Conservation, in connection therewith, establishing an elected board of commissioners to supervise the department, specifying the department's duties and powers, and declaring that conflict between economic interest and conservation stewardship responsibilities shall be resolved in favor of public ownership and public values, transferring certain existing governmental programs and entities to the department, including the Great Outdoors Colorado program, transferring to the Board of Commissioners the authority to appoint members of certain boards and commissions relating to those programs and entities, vesting procedural management responsibility for the department in an executive director, subject to supervision by the Board of Commissioners, identifying revenue sources for the department, and exempting the department from the fiscal limits contained in Section 20 of Article 10 of the Colorado Constitution, period. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That completes title setting for number 17. The time is 10:32. Let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll take up the next agenda item, which is number 30.
I'd like to thank the board for their consideration.